Hello and welcome back to part two of Mindful Masturbation. I'm joined by the lovely Corinne. Thanks again for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. So excited to get to part two. So if you haven't already listened to our previous episode on mindful masturbation, would highly suggest going back and listening to that, as a lot of what we talked about is stuff we're going to build on. So in that one, we talked more about the individual experience of it. And in this one, we're going to be talking about adding in some external factors, looking at porn, looking at how masturbation can impact your sex life with a partner, and also looking at virtual intimacy. And so, yeah, looking forward to that.
Me too.
Just a little reminder, Corinne was the editor-in-chief of Sex Info Online, which is a sex education online program run, well, program that has a website that's online. It's at UCSB where Corinne and I met, and she also spent a year traveling in Asia, studying and teaching yoga. So really cool experiences there to be talking about mindfulness and masturbation and sex. So yeah. And she also is teaching yoga classes now virtually during the pandemic. You can, if you're interested in those, you can reach out to her Instagram at unrefined_co or reach out to her email, which I'll link in the description. But yeah, so I guess we can start with porn, talking about porn, since that's something that anyone could theoretically relate to. It doesn't matter if you have a partner or not. Yeah, I think talking about porn is really interesting because obviously, you know, there's a lot of stigmas around it, but especially with women, I feel like women, there's not a lot of talk about women interacting with porn, and it's a pretty like convoluted topic. I know, as you said when we were talking about this earlier, about how, you know, there's also some ethical concerns when it comes to porn and women, and sometimes, you know, whether or not the women are, maybe I'll just let you talk about this. but anyway, I thought it was interesting. I found this study which looked at how much women view interact with porn. This was done in February 2020. So fairly recently. It's actually a year prior to this, because we're filming this in February 2021. But, you know, February 2020, that's like right before the pandemic. So that's like yesterday, right? but in terms of, you know, like women and sex and studies like that, it actually is pretty recent. A lot of other studies I was looking at were like 2009 or like 2007. Mm. I'm like, wow, this is a long time ago. So this is fairly recent. And they were looking at how often women view porn. And so more than 1/3 of women said that they watch porn every week. This was a very small margin. It was 31%. So slightly more than 1/3, but basically around 1/3 of women said that they watch porn every week. Another 30% of women said that they watch porn a couple times a month. And so that means that 60%, a majority of women watch porn, majority of women in the study, you know, watch porn, and they do it semi-regularly. So I thought that was interesting.
So. Yeah, definitely. And you know, you mentioned that watching porn, I think especially for women, has a lot of stigma attached to it. And I think we touched on this a little bit in part one, but masturbating in itself can have a lot of stigma attached to it. And again, especially for women, it's like often something that isn't talked about quite as much. And maybe people think that other people aren't doing it, you know, or maybe they think they're doing it all the time. And for some people who maybe don't masturbate as much, it might feel, they might feel like that's abnormal. And I think what these numbers show is something really awesome, that like, for sure, like a lot of women are masturbating. And in fact, a lot of women are watching porn, but there also is a relatively large amount, or at very least, like, you know, an amount who aren't watching porn and perhaps who aren't masturbating. So I think, yeah, destigmatizing whatever, I think these numbers help to destigmatize whatever part of the spectrum you fall on as far as the amount that you masturbate, the amount that you watch porn, or the amount that you don't.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love that mention. Yeah, because 60%, you know, watch porn or had done so at least in the past month, like a couple times right. in the past month, but 40% hadn't. And maybe right. they do even less so, maybe they don't at all, but that's still a very significant number.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So that's just, you know, looking at porn and just kind of talking about women in porn just right off the bat in terms of, you know, viewership, I guess. But yeah, when it comes to actually consuming porn itself and bringing in this mindfulness factor, one thing that Corrine said that I thought was really interesting was looking at how you're consuming porn and being mindful in what you're consuming and how you're consuming it and how it affects you and like staying present with your body mm-hmm. throughout that. So I don't know if you want to kind of go into more depth with that.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that part of the stigma that comes with watching porn can be that people feel like perhaps it isn't something they should be watching, or it's when we, in part one, just talking about masturbation, you use this word dirty. And I think people can maybe associate that with porn. And I think porn can be beautiful and like have a really positive place in people's life if and when people are consuming it mindfully and they're aware that like what they're consuming and how they're consuming it is something that is working for them and nourishing for them. Just like we've been talking about with, or we did in the last part with like how you're masturbating, making sure that it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have a personal story. I like I said in part one, I didn't masturbate a lot when I was younger because I often had sexual partners and I had a hard time bringing myself to orgasm. So sometimes the experience could be a little bit frustrating. You know, I wasn't necessarily quite so versed at that time in this idea of like, you don't have to masturbate, just be present for it. I was like, well, and you know, even now still sometimes it's like, well, it would be great to make myself orgasm like that. You know, I too am working to put that farther and farther away from a goal, but like sometimes that's how people feel. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. So I had been traveling at this point. I'd been traveling. Yeah, it was pretty soon before that meditation retreat I talked about. So like 7 or 8 months, I hadn't had any sexual experiences with other people. And I hadn't even masturbated much because I was mostly in these like shared dorm rooms, these hostels I was staying in. So I had been volunteering at a meditation center in Myanmar for like almost a month. And I was in this big room with like 12 other people, like not a sliver of privacy anywhere by any means. And then I finished up my volunteering there. Before I went to like the next place on my travels, I had one night in the big city nearby where I was just staying at a hostel. And it just so happened that this like big group hostel that I had rented, I was on a budget. So I was usually looking for whatever the least expensive thing I could find. So this hostel that was supposed to be this shared room, just so happened that nobody else was there. No one else had like booked that room that night. And so suddenly I was all alone and I was like,
congratulations.
Yes. Right. Needed to happen. And, I was like, all right, it's about time for me to have a real nice night with myself. But was at this point where like I think maybe I had started touching myself a bit and just really like didn't quite feel like being totally solo in that experience. Like I didn't want to meet someone random at the bar and bring them back to the hostel, but like I kind of wanted some other stimulation, something else as a part of it. And before that time, I had essentially never watched porn. I had like seen bits of porn, especially through like sex education, but like it's a different, you know, it's a whole different like realm. Yeah. And I had some fears and some uncertainties about porn. For one, about like viruses on my devices. Like I just didn't really, I had just heard horror stories. Maybe they weren't even really that accurate, but like, you know, downloading some pornographic film or photo could like bring, could give you a virus. Of course, like most things you don't actually download these days, but I was still a little nervous. And I also, my bigger concern was being a porn actor or actress and being really like a sex worker of any realm is in my opinion and in my like in the opinion of many like academics and people these days is a very legitimate career. And you know, it's something that still has all of this stigma and all of this shame, but like I think shouldn't. And with that said, I also know that there can be a lot of things in the porn industry that are not so legitimate. There can be coercion. There can be underage people. There can also just be people who are like really not having a good time in their in their scenes and what they're doing. And what I felt like in this moment where I was in Myanmar in this hostel, wanting to start watching porn, but like having those fears, I was just like, how can I look like consume porn mindfully? And so I just started Googling like ethical porn, mindful porn, porn by women. And I stumbled across, after like a bunch of reading, I stumbled across this website called Bellessa. Bellessa by no means is absolutely flawless. Like they could certainly do more as far as diversity of body type and things like that, but primarily like their kind of tagline is porn for women by women, and they're like a woman run company that like has this big emphasis on the women in the scenes enjoying themselves, and like they say everyone like no fake orgasms, and you know, who knows if that's true or not, but like the only other website I really knew a lot about was Pornhub. And I knew that Pornhub like could have some very, you know, legitimate scenes where everyone's having a great time and everyone's super consensual. And then also not so much. Like they have things that are more questionable on their site. And so I felt very conflicted about like engaging with that website. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I came across Bellessa, and what I've seen on there and in their videos tends to be people like seeming to like be very consensual, very engaged, and everyone kind of like having a good time. Of course, they're actors. Who knows what's really happening, but yeah, at least having some of that intention behind it on my end. And then also on the end of the website of like, we're trying to provide like an ethical source for you to consume porn made me feel a lot better and a lot more connected with watching it. And again, that is not to say that it's wrong to look at Pornhub, assuming everybody involved is consenting and, you know, nobody's being harmed. There's nothing wrong with it. It just, as far as this mindful consumption of it, that was one way that I could kind of bring in that mindfulness, was like finding a website that aligned a bit more with my values. And so that night, masturbating in this hostel in Myanmar, watching porn for the first time, It was actually the first time, or the first time in a long time, that I brought myself to orgasm. And, you know, it's, yeah, right? Exciting. And, you know, I wouldn't say it is like because of the porn, but certainly the watching porn helped, and having that other element, having that like fantasy fuel, that component that could help me fantasize and help get me in the mood, really helped a lot. So yeah, I think taking an extra moment to think about like where your porn is coming from can be really helpful. And, you know, for young people, a lot of ethical porn subscriptions are paid, and that's just not an option for a lot of people. And so that was one really cool thing about Bellessa, is it was a free site. It had this focus on like ethical, consenting, enjoying experiences for everyone involved. Yeah, and there's another website called Make Love Not Porn. And their kind of tagline is, we're pro-sex, we're pro-porn, and we're pro-knowing the difference. And that is, again, like just something that it's really important to be mindful of in watching porn, in that like porn is not necessarily regular day-to-day sex, or even like amazing, mind-blowing, like crazy sex that one will actually have in real life. Like, it is a performance, you know? And it's something that I think being aware of that, remembering that, as far as the mindfulness being remembering, can help one like not only be more aware of like what's happening and what they are consuming, but also allow them to not necessarily like compare so much, you know?
Yeah.
Because in so many porn scenes, like the guy's just hard like that and for the whole experience, and like the woman is just like dripping wet from minute one. It's like, all right, well, usually it takes a little more time than that. It's like an ebb and a flow. And yeah, just being aware of like the difference between porn and then like what might actually be happening in real life is a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, I love that connection you brought of like remembering and being aware of how what you're consuming may be different to what you experience, and that's totally okay. And, you know, not comparing and whatnot, as you said, which I think is great for porn, but also just, you know, in this age of social media, is something that's talked about in terms of comparing yourself to influencers and, you know, comparing yourself to other people that you see on the internet, and being aware that you just see oftentimes just a sliver, and a very perfectly crafted sliver of someone's life, or in porn of, you know, sex. Like, as you said, the woman might be dripping wet. They might have been at it for a little while before, or maybe there's a lot of lube there, or, you know, there's so many things that you may not know. And also, you know, as you said, these people who are sex workers, like, this is their job. So they're kind of like trained in this too. And they've kind of developed these skills. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's another thing to like keep in mind as well. And also what you said about fantasy fuel was great. I love that term, fantasy fuel. And it's kind of also reminds me of how, you know, sometimes with porn, and also it doesn't have to just include video porn. Right. It could also include like audio porn or erotic stories or GIFs or other things. When you kind of consume these things, if you do, you obviously don't have to, but if you do, if it acts as fantasy fuel, like, you sometimes don't have to always consume it for like the entire time. Like, sometimes I'll just like maybe start with it to like get in the mood. I'm gonna say get in the mood.
Yeah.
Get in the mood to like get that, you know, fantasy fuel going. But then maybe sometimes I'll stop and then just focus on myself and the sensations once I'm, you know, more in that mood and in that space. Whereas other yes. times, you know, maybe you'll consume it the entire time up until when you're done. And so I think it's cool that it can kind of place you in this fantasy headspace or headspace mm-hmm. of fantasizing if you're not already there. You also don't have to fantasize during masturbation, yeah. but this is one option, I guess. And it can be fun to experiment with different fantasies to figure out, you know, figuring what you like. There's the idea of like experimenting with fantasies, but then, mm-hmm. and just because you fantasize about something doesn't mean that it's necessarily something that you want to do.
Right.
But it is, you know, it could be fun to experiment with fantasies, but also because, sorry, I'm just all over the place. But in the first episode, we talked about experimenting more physically with sensations and touching in different yeah. places. So that's one kind of experimentation. But then you can also experiment with different types of fantasies and different modes of, you know, porn and consumption and just kind of yeah. learning more about yourself, I guess. Yeah.
Totally, totally. And I think watching porn, reading these stories, these different things can be like a safe, healthy way to experiment with these ideas, like you said, of BDSM, of maybe like having group sex, you know, different, maybe if you identify as heterosexual, but you're like interested, if you're a woman who likes watching two women have sex, like you can start to explore that and experiment with that and kind of entertain those ideas. And then as time goes on, perhaps you, if you have a partner, you can bring it up, like you say, and have a discussion about like what it might look like to bring those things into your life. But like, you don't have to just go head first, like have a threesome, you know, because it's the first time you've thought about it. You can have this really like safe, or this personal way of fantasizing and experimenting with that, with the help of porn and erotic stories and whatever kind of media you're choosing to consume. In your mindful consumption, you kind of have this understanding that not necessarily everything you see in porn is something that you're going to want to bring into your own sex life, or at least not without a lot of communication with any partners that you have.
Yeah, definitely. And talking about bringing stuff into your sex life, we can, I think that's a great transition to talking about bringing in mindfulness and perhaps also porn, but I think more mindfulness into partnered sex life.
Totally.
Yeah.
And kind of just one other sort of mindful aspect of watching porn, we touched mm-hmm. really briefly on like reading erotic stories, but mm-hmm. I think that that can be a really awesome realm to explore if people haven't, because, you know, a video is just like going on at the speed that it's going. But like right. when you're reading something, you have a little more control of like the speed that you're going, and you can just like look away for a moment if you want to, like a moment kind of entirely with yourself without the story. And for women, so much, or for everyone, so much of arousal is mental. It's not just physical. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for women, like sometimes watching porn maybe doesn't quite do it for them because they're like, okay, but what's the emotional connection? And it's more common to find in written or audio porn this like emotional mental connection between the partners that can really help somebody get more into the mindset and feel more connected to it. And then also have that space of, like you said, maybe starting to read it and then putting it aside, taking some time just to like touch yourself without the media, maybe bringing it back. And just that mindful component is really, even when you're watching porn, even if you're reading a story, even if you're, you know, bringing in media, still being aware of like the sensations in your body and like remembering that you're touching yourself and you're having this experience with yourself.
Definitely. Yeah, I love that idea of like still, you know, being present and all the different ways of bringing mindfulness into porn, like being present and aware of your body still while you're doing it, or, you know, being mindful about how you're consuming it, or mm-hmm. even just being mindful of, you know, the reality of what you're watching versus what may be the reality of yours and many people's sex lives. You know, there's all these different ways, small ways that you can incorporate that. Mm-hmm. So moving on, I guess, to partnered sex.
Yeah. So again, coming to the stigma of masturbation and all that, I think that there can be a stigma also that like, oh, if you're in a relationship, like you don't need to masturbate, like you have a sexual partner, so you know, you're good. And I think that is a total myth. Like you can absolutely have a partner who you are super connected to and love having sex with and want to masturbate. You know, they're kind of different things. Like we've been talking about, masturbation is this really like personal experience.
Yeah.
So I think that for one, you can have a partner and then have totally a completely separate masturbation practice and experiences that are on your own. And like, you don't have to share that if you don't want to. And that's another place where communication can be a really big player between you and your partner or partners, of that, like, that's something that you, this, a space you want to have for yourself. And also, masturbation is something you can actually bring into sex with a partner. So like, it could be something that I think we'll talk a little more about virtual intimacy in a minute, but like, it's something you each could do together while you're in separate locations to kind of have a shared sexual experience. And it's also something you can do like in the bed together, you know, 3 inches away, and you can each be masturbating and kind of maybe looking, like watching each other. That can be a really great way to teach and share what you like for your own body with your partner. So like that, for me personally, that wasn't a big part of like past relationships. And now I have a newer partner, and he like thinks it's great when I masturbate.
Like, hey,
yeah, right.
We love supportive partners.
We love it. And like when I do on my own and like tell him about it, he's like, yeah, tell me more. Like, loves to hear about it. And then when we're together, also, if somehow that comes up, maybe sometimes like, you know, he'll leave the room, like go to the bathroom for a minute, and I'll start touching myself. And he'll come back in and like, he'll be very supportive. Be like, yeah, continue. and it's a really, I've never really had that before now. And it's a wonderful thing that you can share, you know, and it's personal, but then you can, if you choose to, and you don't have to, but you can kind of like expand that bubble of like your own really personal masturbation and let someone else be a part of it, and maybe you be a part of their masturbation experience. Yeah, I think it can be, as we're talking about masturbation being a great way to connect with yourself, it's like another step or another component when you are connecting with yourself while connecting with someone else.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that story, and congratulations for having a great supportive partner now. And I'm
thank you. He's wonderful.
Yeah,
and to say like I've had great supportive partners in the past. We just didn't necessarily like have that connection.
Yeah,
and it's again like if that's not something all partners are comfortable with, it's okay if you don't bring that into your life. Definitely. But like if you are able to, it can be a really great thing, a great way to learn about each other and like have more fulfilling sex, you know, if it's clear that like you really like to rub your clit in this particular manner, but you didn't maybe have the words to do it, just by like masturbating with your partner being there, they can start to like pick up on some of that.
Yeah, definitely. I love that concrete example. And also kind of what you were saying about it being this thing that can be shared and can be kind of, you know, this sharing of a very personal space and it being this thing that's personal but connected, because I feel like oftentimes masturbation is seen as this very solo experience and right. It's very just like introspective and shut off, which mm-hmm. it can be and it often is, but thinking about it as a way to bond with a partner, I think mm-hmm. is a very beautiful approach to thinking about it. So
yeah.
And I think that kind of, you know, it's great to be able to share that in person, but that can't always be the case, whether, you know, it's totally. A long distance relationship or you're in a pandemic yeah. and, you know, as many people are finding themselves right now, it's hard to have, you know, skin to skin sex right now.
Totally.
And so, yeah, I think virtual intimacy, like whether that's mutual masturbation on FaceTime or phone sex or sending sexy photos, like whatever that entails, it's very important that it is consensual on both mm-hmm. sides, and that you are very clear about what your boundaries are before you go into that, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to like either photos or like FaceTime or something. Like when it comes to someone having like a visual or audio or whatever type of long-term online artifact of you, yeah. It's very important to be very careful around that. And when it comes to like FaceTime, for example, or anything that's video, recording someone without their consent in that way, like recording someone without their knowledge in that way, is a form of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you shouldn't do that regardless, but that is, you know, you could tell your partner that or something. I don't know, if you're in a like trusting relationship, then that maybe shouldn't be as much of an issue, but maybe this isn't a, you know, committed relationship. Maybe this is some type of hookup type thing, mm-hmm. you know? So you just want to make sure that you set your boundaries very clearly ahead of time around everything, especially like recording, or if you send a photo, set your boundaries of how they are to handle that ahead of time. And also with pictures, if you're sending anything, try to avoid having any personally identifiable details in there. So like any tattoos or like your face, or, you know, if you don't fully trust that person, or like, you know, just, I mean, you probably shouldn't send it unless you fully trust that person, but just make sure you're being careful, because virtual intimacy, while it can be great to have in a time like this, mm-hmm. it also presents its own unique challenges and problems and issues. So just be safe. But that's the
disclaimer.
The disclaimer. So that's that. But let's get into the fun stuff. And I'll hand that off to you, Corinne, to talk about that.
Thank you. Yeah, that is so important. And I think you mentioned one of the most important things is like trust. And I think it is wise to be sending these things primarily, you know, only to people who you do trust and engaging in this way. And, you know, it can be difficult to find that in what often can be like a hookup culture these mm-hmm. days, especially for younger people and college students. But yeah, like keeping that in mind of who you're sending these things to is super important. Yeah. And so assuming you have someone who you trust, who you're able to engage in virtual intimacy with, heck yeah, that can be a great way to engage and again, like bond and have a sexual experience with someone who maybe you can't be physically close to. And so you mentioned like the pandemic, and that's absolutely so valid. Even like I have a long-term partner right now, and we only can see each other sometimes because of the limitations of the pandemic. Yeah. And so when we have a longer stretch where we aren't able to, you know, like touch each other, we've started to experiment more with like virtual intimacy, like you're saying. And so I think that that is another place where mindfulness can be such a beautiful like foundation. So mm-hmm. like, let's say, for example, you're having phone sex. And so that can look a lot of ways, but maybe you're both on the phone and you're both touching yourself at the same time. And maybe like talking through what you're doing, like, oh, I'm touching myself in this way and I'm doing this. Or maybe you're kind of talking through fantasies like, oh, I wish I were there with you. I would touch you in this way and I would do this and that. And while you're doing that, like you can bring in all of these other aspects that we've talked about of mindful masturbation, as far as like staying aware of the sensations in your body and maybe even becoming like more aware of them by explaining them to your partner yeah. and being like, I feel this. And, you know, I'm imagining you touching me like this. And it feels so great because of these things. And, yeah, bringing in those mindful practices of staying aware, remembering you're in your body, remembering you're on the phone with your partner, and whatever other realms it might be, if you're sending photos or if you're on like a video call doing it, just keeping that awareness. And sometimes it can be, especially if you're like newer to this virtual intimacy, it might feel like a little bit awkward and a yeah. little funny, you know, it's like a new thing. And, or maybe it's a different thing if you're used to having sex like in person with them, and then suddenly you have this distance and you're trying to navigate this new way to connect. And I think staying like aware and honest about that also can be a great way to like cut through some of that awkwardness and yeah. communicating, you know, mindfulness and communication go hand in hand in like being aware of what you're feeling and then like expressing that, you know, maybe giggling, maybe keeping it light, like telling your partner, I feel a little funny, but like, let's give it a go anyway.
I think that's great advice for just like sex in general, not even totally. Virtual intimacy.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think becoming more comfortable in your body through these mindful masturbation techniques can help a lot with that, like you say, that general advice for sex. Because then even if you're comfortable in your body, even if you're masturbating, you know, you might be having sex with someone and then you're like, oh, I feel a little awkward, like I want to giggle, I want to cry, maybe you feel emotional, you know, like yeah. whatever it is. And being mindful, being aware of that, and being able to communicate it can add so much more connection and comfort into like partnered sex, not only being mindful in your masturbation, but bringing that mindfulness into like every interaction that you're having with your partner.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, I mean, speaking from all of my grand experience in this matter, but I think that that often leads to better sex when totally. You're totally present rather than in your head thinking about, you know, like, oh, how am I appearing, or like all these like maybe thoughts and insecurities, or if you're thinking about something else entirely, like mm-hmm. not even about the moment, but you're thinking about like what you're gonna have for lunch tomorrow or something. I don't know. But I think, yeah, when you're totally present and focused on that moment with your partner, it just leads to better connection, better yeah. sex, better sensations in general.
Totally, totally. And one thing we talked about a lot in the last episode was this like goal-oriented masturbation, right? Of like, I'm going to orgasm, or I can't orgasm, like having these things that you're really trying to accomplish, yeah, and bringing in mindfulness to allow you to just like enjoy and be present for the experience, whatever it holds. All of that is so relevant to partnered sex for sure. Like, yeah, because while you're having sex with someone, you might even more than masturbating be feeling like, I have to orgasm or I cannot, right, orgasm, you know? And yeah, so having that dialogue with your partner, having that space of like, oh, we're just gonna be connected, like whatever the experience holds, whether there are orgasms or not involved, we're present for it. We're not like, and you know, if your mind wanders for a minute to what you're having for lunch tomorrow, like that's okay. Part of staying aware and being mindful is just like, when you can, noticing that your mind's gone there and then just being like, oh, right, okay, coming back to my body right now, to the sensations that I'm feeling.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that incorporation of what we talked about before and just how mindfulness can, you know, be part of every aspect of your sex life, whether it's solo, partnered mm-hmm. online, you know, right, whatever it may be. I have some virtual intimacy stats.
Awesome. Lay them on,
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Wow, we just can't. I didn't even mean to.
I thought you did. That's why I was like, nice one. Yeah, so looking at virtual intimacy, I found this survey done by YouGov, and it was done in early pandemic. I think it was like March 2020, maybe April, but they were looking at people's, like, the way that their sex lives changed. And this was mainly, yeah, it was mainly with partnered sex, so not masturbation, but mm-hmm. they were looking at the percentage of people who said that they had sex with their partner more frequently than usual in the last 2 weeks. This is all in the last 2 weeks, so behaviors in the last 2 weeks back when they interviewed them in like March 2020. So right, it's like, have you had sex with your partner more frequently than usual? Have you had phone sex? Have you had sex over video chat? Have you sent explicit text messages? And mm-hmm. have you sent naked pictures? So that's mm-hmm. what they had sent. And 13% of people said that they had sex with their partner more frequently than usual. 3% said that they had phone sex. 3% said they had sex over video chat. So same for phone sex and video chat. 5% said they sent explicit text messages, and 3% said they sent naked pictures. So same, similar percentage of phone sex, video chat sex, and naked pictures, and slightly higher for explicit text messages, mm-hmm. Which I think makes sense. And it was interesting, the amount of people too said that they had sex with their partner more frequently than usual. That was the highest.
Yeah.
But also hard to tell if that would just be a normal percentage in like a normal world where someone just happened to have more sex with their partner in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
But one thing that I thought was interesting was looking at the differences between males and females and regions. So the percentages were higher for males almost across the board compared to females, slightly mm-hmm. higher. So for phone sex, males, 4% had phone sex, 2% of females. So that's where that 3% average comes in, the average of 4% of males and 2% of females. Same with sex over video chat, 4% of males, 2% of females. When it came to sending explicit text messages, 7% of males had done that in the past 2 weeks and only 4% of females. And then, but when it came to, I haven't done any of these things, that percentage was 73% for females and 64% for males. So it was higher for females.
Yeah.
And then also, this is interesting. This study was done in the US, the United States. And so looking at the differences in regions, the Northeast and the West had the higher percentages. And then the Midwest had the smallest percentages. And the South was kind of in between. So I thought that was interesting in terms of like openness attitudes in different regions in the US.
Sure.
Yeah. They're very small margins, but still it was mm-hmm. just
yeah, like the bigger cities and maybe some of the more liberal areas, like on the coasts, maybe people feel more comfortable engaging in these virtual intimacy practices. And then maybe some of the more like traditionally conservative areas in the Midwest and South are, it's just like not occurring as much.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some information about virtual intimacy. I think that kind of wraps it all up. I had a quote that I didn't include in the last one, but maybe I'll say it here, about masturbation, and that it's been identified as a strategy to improve sexual health by promoting intimacy, exploring self-pleasure, desires, and needs. And I thought that was a nice, you know, kind of like wrap up of all the different things we had talked about in terms of like benefits of masturbation.
Yeah.
And then how mindfulness can kind of amplify those things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe that's just kind of like a nice kind of overall wrap up of the two.
Absolutely. To wrap up as well, just this idea of mindful masturbation, I just kind of want to emphasize again that like we've talked a lot about different ways it can show up, different mm-hmm. techniques, different, you know, aspects of your sex life it might affect. But like, there's no prescription for what mindful masturbation looks like. Like it's the whole, a whole part of mindfulness is that it is a personal experience and a personal journey. And so I think the most important thing, if you're wanting to incorporate mindfulness into your masturbation or into your sex life, is just like experimenting and staying aware and seeing how it might feel to switch things up, seeing how it might feel to keep things the same and maybe have an added level of awareness. And also that like, if you don't want to do that, there's nothing wrong. And like, as you've said, as long as you're not harming yourself or others, whatever you're doing is generally all good. And I think a big part of what we wanted to talk about or to emphasize in this conversation is just that like the stigmas and so much of the shame around masturbation is a societal construct that doesn't need to be here. And, you know, if you haven't heard it all already, we just want to like share with people that masturbation can be really healthy and really a beautiful part of your life.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here and for sharing that.
Thank you so much, Serena. It was my pleasure. It was so great to talk with you.
Yeah. I almost feel like we should end out with like a namaste or something.
Yeah, right? That tends to be my what I'm used to.
Yeah. But once again, Corinne is teaching yoga classes. So if you are interested in joining those, you can, you know, hit her up in her DMs on Insta.
Totally.
And yeah, you can also email her if you're not on Instagram, and we'll have links to those in the description.
Yes. Yeah. And again, all my classes are pay what you can. I'm really doing all I can to keep them accessible to everyone, regardless of, you know, financial situation, regardless of body type, regardless of where you are. So yeah, if you have any bit of inkling of joining, please reach out. It would be amazing to connect with you, whoever you are out there listening.
Yes, definitely. And I said this before, but, you know, I've been going to them and they've been really, really great and helpful. And I love Corinne's just like approach and style. And yeah. And
thank you, Serena. And just to note also, we said this in the last episode, but they're not, like sex focused yoga.
Yes.
There's a lot of mindfulness and body connection, but, this has been such an amazing opportunity to bring together these things that I've studied with all my work in sex education and now with yoga. So that's been an amazing blend and connection. but the yoga classes, the sex is not so much a part of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've been teaching a lot of restorative yin classes.
Yes.
Which is like, from my understanding, you know, has been a lot of just like stretching and kind of calming down after a long day, or maybe not a long day, but just after a day of existing and feeling. And sometimes there's a lot of existing and feeling in these times. And then also other things, like she had this elixir class, which was a blend of journaling, meditation, and yoga. And now we're going through like basic fundamentals, you know. So we did like a sun salutation class last week, and
exactly.
So very much, yoga focused, more traditional yoga, not like sex yoga, but right. I guess tantric yoga is more in line of traditionally what that's called, but no tantric tantra things happening. I don't know if I even said that properly, but More normal forms of yoga, like what you would get if you would sign up for like a yoga class at like a health center. I don't know, like more like a recreational yoga center. Studio.
Yeah. Tantra is kind of a field of its own. And tantra is really amazing. And it has a lot of, a lot more than just sex, but yeah, there's definitely that big sexual component. So yeah, these are something a little different than that.
Definitely. So if you're on Instagram, find her on Instagram. Also, you can find the podcast on Instagram at The Virgin and the Beast Podcast. And yeah.
Great. Woohoo.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this two-part series. And we'll see you when we see you.
Yes. Thank you, Zarina. Thank you for everyone listening. This was such a great, fun time. And these are really important topics, Zarina. So thank you for like creating this space for people to talk about them.
Of course. I'm so glad. And thank you for being here and coming on and sharing this space to talk about and share these things that you've learned and experienced.
Absolutely.
All right, keep on buzzing. Thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If there was something in here that you might want to incorporate into your sex life, then maybe share this episode with a partner or save it and share it with a future partner. And you can use it as a springboard to discuss what y'all might be interested in, what you might want to try, and what that could look like.